Okay, today's daf is Kilayim, daf Nun Tes, and we are on Nun Ches Mabez. We're up to the Mishnah. But just one ha'ara from yesterday's daf. That is that we mentioned that the Mishnah had the halacha that if I put a vine onto a pergola type of structure or onto a non-fruit-bearing tree, so I'm not allowed to even plant Zra'im under the extension where the vines are going to grow because it's batel. That was the lashon of the Mefarshim. It's but the where it's going to grow is batel to where it has already grown, and the whole area is considered part of the vine. And the Mishnah said, the Gemara said yesterday, this is similar to the Mishnah and Kalim. Well, the Mishnah and Kalim were relating Kalim and Kilayim, obviously a little play on words. But the Mishnah and Kalim discusses if I had a leather flask and it got a hole in it, and I tied up the hole. So am I mevatel that knot to the bag to make it that this is a kli that's closed up and it's mekabel tuma again? Or do I say no, the knot is not batel and eventually it's going to get undone and it's not a good kli and it's not mekabel tuma? So the Gemara related those two totally different areas of halacha, right? Kilayim with the spreading and the kalim with the knot in the bags. But the Gemara says, they're related to each other. And siman at the kalim kilayim. Even remember how you remember the explanation of one case is by thinking about the other case of bittel. But we mentions, if you don't say that svara, Reb Yudin said, if you don't say that svara to connect the Mishnayis, then why else would there be a difference between the knots, depending on how long you plan to keep it there, right? You have to say, if you plan it to keep it there for a long time, then it's batel. If you can't plan to keep it there for a short time, then it's not batel. Rabbi Yannai gave a different reason, and he said, no, maybe it depends on how structurally sound are the knots. Do you have to cut them with a knife in order to undo these knots? That's a serious knot, and that's batel. Or do you not? So that those two deos reflect two ideas that also come up in Hilchos Shabbos in the Malach of Kosher. Once we're talking about knots, in terms of how much do you focus on objectivity and the strength of the knot itself, and how much do you say it has to do a lot with your kavana and how long you want the knot to be there. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Zayin discusses all about kosher. The Mefarshim, I'll read it from the Aruch HaShulchan, discuss the relationship between kosher and tofer. There are certain malachas that are connected to each other, but they're obviously not the same because they're separate malachas. Like kosev and soveya have to be described and differentiated between. Writing and coloring. When is something writing? What is something coloring? If I draw a picture, right, is that kosev or is that soveya? You have to wait to define. Sometimes it's easy to know the difference, but sometimes it's not so easy. So what about tofer and kosher? They're both, what do I do by a kosher? I take two sides of a string and I tie them together. It's kind of like tofer, kind of like sewing things together. So there's a difference. Ask the Aruch HaShulchan. V'im tishal, im kein kosher v'tofer achaseim, t'hagam kosher mechaber hadvarim zelazeh. Right, kosher is also connecting two things. This is Shin Yud Zayin Yud Ches. The ain't okay, no. The chibur, the kesher, roi la tiro la shiva la kanmuso. You know the difference is how you undo it. To undo a knot, you tie the knot, you untie the knot. Right, it goes back and forth, back and forth. By tofer, it's not meant to go back and forth. You sew something together. What, you unsew it? That's ripping it. That's not just unsewing it. That's not just going back to the undoing what you did. So that's a siman, how you know the difference between the two. Can you just undo it? Masha'enkein, betofer, umedabeg, shekshayirtza la'ashivam, lekadmusam, when you want to go back in time, behechrach la'kalkalam, v'lekrozem, he said, you have to rip it apart. Right, that's a reflection of tofer. Masha'enkein, bekosher, unlike by kosher. There are some type of tofers that are meant to be done and undone, and maybe that's why it's not really the true malach of tofer. Right, most posts can assume. What about zippers? Zippers, I'm going to close a zipper. Zipper is a pretty connected, you know, they didn't have zippers in the days of old. So zipper's not kosher, so it's probably in the world of tofer. I'm putting two things together, and the keys of the zipper interlock with each other. So what if I'm planning to zipper something, and it's going to stay zippered for the next 5 years? Is that going to be tofer if I have no plans to undo it? So most poskim say, not a problem, even if I have plans, because that's meant to be done and undone. That's not a real, true malacha. Right? There's a principle that Rav Ribia talks about in his Sefer on Shabbos called Derech Tashmisho. mode of usage, which means there are certain malachas that you have to accomplish something, bring a result. But if it's meant to be done and undone, inherently, then it's not a malacha. If I have a hole in the wall and I put a plywood piece of board up to close the wall, so that is the malacha of bona. But what if I have a hole in the wall and there's something called a door, and I open the door and now there's a hole in the wall, and I close the door. I've closed the hole in the wall. What's the difference between putting up a piece of plywood and closing up the hole and closing the door, even if I haven't, I'm not opening up this door for 5 years? It's still not the malacha of bona. What's the difference? A door is meant to be done and undone. It's not a true form of a malacha. Derech tashmisho. A board is not meant. Board goes up. Right? So they have that. You have by transition glasses. Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva already many years ago. When you go outside and it turns into sunglasses, and then you come back in and it turns into regular glasses. Why isn't that soveya? Why isn't that coloring? No, because that's not meant to be a true malacha of soveya. It's meant to be done and undone. Right? Back and forth. And this is a yisod that comes up often in Hilchos Shabbos. So the same thing would be by this example of Topher. But either way, there's Shor HaShochar is b'chalek between Topher and Kosher. But there is a major machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rif. How many requirements are there for the malacha of Kosher? How many requirements? The Rambam and the Rif say there are two requirements. Two requirements. Number one, Maisa Uman, which is objective, inherent, professional, not. We're not sure what that means. But number two, kesher shel kayama, permanence. A ratzon for it to be there for a while. What does a while mean? But those are the two ingredients for the Rambam and the Rif. If you only have one of them, it's also the Rabbanan. The Tur and Rashi and the Rush all say only kesher shel kayama, only permanence. But it has to be a knot. It has to be some level of a knot. If it's not a knot, so then it's nothing. But once it's a knot, you don't even need Maisa Uman, you just need Kesher Shakayam. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Machlokas Machaber, and the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yud Zayin, but again, you see this balance here of, like our Gemara talks about, the objectivity of the knot and the subjectivity of how long it's planning to be there. Shulchan Aruch says, HaKosher Kesher Shakayama, Vehu Maisa Uman, right? Language of the Rambam, right? It's both. Right, kesher and my suman chayiv could go in kesher gamalim, kesher sapanim. Different examples of ksharim that are given. Aval kosher kesher shal kayama ve'eno my suman pater. If I tie a kesher shal kayama, I'm planning it to be there for a while, but it's not a professional knot. That is only it's pater. Pater means asad rabbanan. But that's not asad raisa. Says the Ramah ve'yesh cholkin v'sfira lu to call kesher shal kayama afilu shal hedyot chayavin alav. Rashi, Rabbeinu Yerucham Tur. So that is the Machlokes Rishonim and Machlokes Bechaber and Ramah. So the tricky part is, what is Shel Kayama? Many different opinions. How long is permanent for shoes? V'yesh Omrim Shekol Kesher She'eno Asui Lahatir Ba'oso Yom Mik Atzmo Mikri Shel Kayama. Anything that is meant to be undone that day. 24 hours. 24 hours. Bring me a Shmir Shabbos, the new ones, the gray ones. Mikri Kesher Shakayama. So some say if it's within 24 hours, so then it is already called not Kayama. V'yesh Mekilim Lomar Da'at Shiva Yamim Lo Mikri Shakayama. And others say 7 days. You have a week, right? So it's is it a day? Is it a week? So that's the question. The Rama. Right, says the Rama v'yesh omrim v'yesh lizar shlo lahatir shum kesher shushnei ksharim zelzeh. The Rama advises, just generally, it's not good to tie or to untie, any two knots together. De'enanu b'kiyan eisa mikri kesher shal uman. We don't know what kesher shal uman is, and we should be machmir about what kesher shal kayama is. So we have to be careful about that. So that is in terms of kesher shel kayama. If you look in the shmir, there are a lot of other nafkaminas in terms of kayama. But again, we're machmir generally. So what about in terms of tying shoes? So in terms of tying shoes, we generally say that if you tie your shoes in what we call a single knot, which is basically an aniva al gabe kesher, right? A bow on top of the bottom. If you just do the bottom thing, the first thing about tying a shoe, that's not a knot at all. But if you have an aniva al gabi kesher, so then that is As long as it's meant to be done, undone within 24 hours, that's okay. That's what we talk about. That's what, if it's not a maisa uman, right? And then it's, if it's just a regular, what we call a single knot, and it's meant to be undone within 24 hours, we're machber for that shita, so then it is not a problem. The question is, what about what we call a double knot? What we call a double knot. This is my one story with the Baal Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. I think I mentioned this before. That the, I once met in my, what's the background for it? What we call a double knot. Which is aniva agabi kesher. That's really what it is. So you look at some of the svarim, they say, oh, that's a maisa uman, and that is not allowed to be tied or untied on Shabbos. So remember when we were learning in the Masecha Shabbos and Hilcha Shabbos in the Kolel with Rav Shechter, so my chavrusa pointed out that if you tie a double knot, if you pull one of the strings, one of the sides, you can pull out the whole thing, from one side. You don't have to untie it. You just pull out the whole thing. I didn't believe it. I'm like, wow. So we showed Rav Shachter. Rav Shachter was like, wow, I didn't know that. Mutter. Meaning on Shabbos. Because that's, if, as long as you have in mind to untie it within 24 hours, that's not called a Maisa Uman. Because it's very, we don't paskin like the Shita of the Tanoim, that's all you need if you could untie it with one hand. But this shows that it's not such a, it's a pretty flimsy knot. So that, I don't know, that week, that month, I remember the Shmir Shabbos was in New York. My father-in-law was running a conference, so I asked the Nishmat Avraham was staying at my in-law's house, and I asked him about this. He's like, oh, it's good. Maybe it's Munter. Ask the Shmir Shabbos. I'm like, I'm not asking the Shmir Shabbos. He's like, oh, yeah, you'll ask him. So on that Sunday, on that conference, I was just on the side, so the Nishmat Avraham, Dr. Abraham, pulled me in and stood me in front of the Nishmat Avraham and stood me in front of the Shmir Shabbos, and I started talking with my broken Hebrew about this knot. He's like, what do you mean? So I took off my shoe, and I was standing there, and he's like, what are you doing? So I showed him the double, and I pulled it out with one hand. He said, no, because in the Shmir Shabbos, it didn't sound like it was mutter. It sounded like it was usher. So he said, alo et kanvanti lazeh, ze mutar. Right, it's it is mutter. I'm like, okay, great. But it's in the Shmir Shabbos, it didn't sound that way. So it was formulated differently. I don't take any credit for this. But in the new Shmir Shabbos, in the gray one, he says, ha'oseh, this is tesvav nunvav, ha'oseh aniva al gabi kesher, mutter lo b'shas ha'tzorach likshor kesher gam al gabi aniva, kedei lahadka. Right, that's the like what we call a double knot. Im amen asila potcho bo soyom, right, if you have in mind to undo it that day. Footnote, right, that's what it says. Again, I don't know if it had that kavana, but again, that's in terms of the kavana that one has. Again, as long as it's within 24 hours, that would be okay. Okay, that was my moment in the sun. Says the Mishnah in Kilayim here, Nun Chesim Abes. Piskei Aris. So what happens, we spoke about, if you remember, if somebody has... we had the perek earlier, karachas akerem. If you have a whole vineyard and then the middle part of the vineyard got destroyed, how much space has to be between the sides that now you can plant within the area? Sort of the same thing with an aris, right? We're talking about an aris, which is the vines on, let's say, the wall, right? The wall. The piskei aris. Remember we said, according to Beis Hillel, one row of vines is not called a vineyard because that's not chashuv enough. But if it's on a wall, if it's on a raised area like an aris, so then it will be chashuv, even if it's one row. So, what happens if I have row, let's say I have 11 vines on a wall, and then the middle vine dies. So I want to know, am I allowed to plant in between those 5 vines on each side? Like, how much space is needed? We spoke about how much space is needed in the middle of a vineyard. So how much space is needed in the middle of an aris, which is a set of vines in one row, but it's on a wall, so it's chashav, and it's called a vineyard, but then the middle one dies. So piskei aris, shmona amos va'od. 8 and a little bit. We'll see in the Gemara that va'od means a tefach. 8 amos and 1 tefach, that's the space needed. V'chol midos sha'omr chachabim bekerem, ein bohen va'od chutz mi piskei aris. The only time you're not going to have a whole measurement, you're going to have and a little bit, is right here. Right? All other measurements are 6 tvachim, 4 amos, 1 amma, right? 16 amos, 24 amos, but here is 8 and a little. right? That's the only time, that's the yesod that the Mishnah says. These are the only time you can have these midos bekerem. Emoem ba'od chusi piskei aris. Eloi piskei aris. What is piskei aris? Aris shachar meam so. So again, an aris that the middle part, the middle vine, was destroyed and died. V'nishtayru bo chamish kvanim mikan v'chamish kvanim mikan. You have five on each side of the middle area now. Why is that the measurement? Because you need at least five vines in order to make it a vineyard. So at least here you have a carrot, what's considered a carom on each side. Remember, even Beis Shammai, that says one row is enough to be a vineyard, you need at least five vines. So according to Beis Hillel, who's moda by an aris, by a wall, because that gives it more chashivus, it grows better, as we said. So you need, in this halacha, as long as you still have what would be considered a carom on each side. That's why you need at least 11. You have five on each side and the middle one. So, what's the halacha? Im yesham shmona amos lo yavi zera l'sham. If there are only 8 amos in between and no more, so then you can't plant there. Shmona amos va'o, but if it's 8 and a little, so then you can. Then it's considered separate. They're each considered separate areas. Separate krabim, no sin lavodah. So then you could give each one its 4 amos, mara folda, 4 amos, right? Because each one is a kerem. Each one is there to carom, not just the gefen. And Vizoria Samosa, then you could plant in the little bit in between, right? We just said. What's the minimum? 8 and a little bit. So as long as you have to give 4 amos of avodas hakerem on each one, and then you could plant in that little area. The Rasirlio points out that this is more makel than karachas hakerem. Karachas hakerem, if you remember, we need 16. 16, space of 16 amos in between. Right, you need 4 amos avodas hakerem to each side, and then you need 8 in between that. But so each one is like 4 amos is chashav enough to be a planting itself. So you have 8 in between, 4 on each side. So you need 16 altogether by the karachas hakerem. But because this is already more makel, it's only chashav because it's on the wall. So that's why we are more makel here. Right, that's the Rasirlio in the first column. Even though by a karachas you need 16 amos, and here you only need 8 and a little, shiny aris, aris is different. It's all one row to begin with. It's already somewhat inferior. That's why it's more makel than a regular karachas. Period. Aris, back to the Mishnah, third line. Aris shu yotzei min hakosel mitoch keren v'kale. What does that mean? We'll go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky's pshat, and that is, what if you have an aris, you have a fence, but you have two fences that are at a right angle. They're at a corner. And you have five vines, 3 on one side, 2 on the other side. That's your five vines. So it's on a wall, but they're not in a line. They're 3 on one side, 2 on the other side, like an L, like a right angle. You have the picture there in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky's pirish. So no sin lo avodaso vizoreya es hamosar. So that area in the corner, that's off limits. That's like a kerem. But how far out? Let's say away from the corner. When can you start planting? When can you start planting away from the corner? So, says the Mishnah, Nosin lo avodaso, so then you go out away from the corner, Vizoreya samosar, right, and then you could plant on the rest. It doesn't matter how long the fence is going away from that corner, according to the Tanakhama. Over the laws, you count away from there, and this avoda, if it's 3 on one side, 2 on the other side, maybe it's not called a kerem, because it's on two different walls. And that's why the Mara Folda here says, Nosin lo avodaso, Vav tvachim, right? Vav tvachim, right? The 6 tvachim, and 6 on each side, because it might not be called a kerem. If it's called a kerem, so then, you know, you would do 4 amos, but either way, vizore samosa, and you could plant the rest. Plant further down the walls, away from this corner where you have a bunch of vines. Rabbi Yosi says, no, if the walls, if the fences aren't so long, even going in the other direction, then it's you can't plant there. You can't plant there if the walls are not so long. It's all nigrar after the vines that are on the corner. You have to have at least 4 amos length of fence from the edge of the vine until the end. You have to have at least 4 amos there. Im ein sham arba amos, if you don't have 4 amos from the edge of the vine until the other side of the fence, not such a long fence, then lo yovi zera l'sham, then you can't plant anything there because it's all nigrar after the vines that are included. And again, that could be even if it's only a vine. It's not a kerem. It's not a kerem. Like we saw the marafolda. It's the six tfachim shear and not the dalet amos shear, which we had earlier in the Mishnah. Period. We continue. Hakanim, back to the case of that we had earlier, of the spreading out. We had the case of spreading out. If you put it on the apifiaros, you put it on the pergola type of structure. So Hakanim, Ayotzim, and Aris, what happens? It still talks about Aris, but it's the same type of idea. What happens if you have a wall and you have the vines on the wall and then you have some branches of the vine sticking out? I'm sorry, not yet. We'll get to that. Hakanim. Kanim Ayosim, you have some reeds that you have plant that are sticking out away from the aris. So how do you have to? Is that considered like we said underneath the pergola that you're not allowed to plant there because you have these sticks, these reeds that are sticking out from the wall, and eventually maybe the vine will go over them. So it depends. Why do you have these reeds on top of your wall? What if they're just nice looking reeds? You don't want to cut them in half because maybe one day you'll want to sell them. Maybe you want to use them. And if you cut them in half, you're going to ruin them. So it's not that you want the vine to spread out onto these reeds. No, you're just not cutting the reeds because you want to keep the reeds whole. So chasalem lepaskan. See, if you just keeping them, you don't want to cut them. Kinegdon mutter. Then under them is mutter, because it's not like, as the Marafolda says, l'fishena chashuvim kelu heina me'apifiaros. It's not like a pergola where you want the vines to spread, and therefore it's already going to be usser under there. No, you just have this sticking out, but you don't have plans for it to spread. Connect and mutter. Asan k'deshi halech benachadosh, but as we said before, if you have these reeds so that the vines spread away from the wall, so then usser, right, the same yisod, right, earlier was just about a whole pergola set up, and here it's just you have one wall. You have the aris set up, and then you have some reeds sticking out on top. So it depends what your kavana is with having those reeds stick out. If you want the vines to spread there, then it's not the same din as the apifiaros, and you cannot plant underneath. And if you don't, so then you're allowed to. Haperach ayotzei min ha'aris, what if you have a perach? A perach means a vine. What if one of the vines starts sticking out from the wall? Haperach ayotzei min ha'aris. So if a vine starts sticking out from the wall, right, the Marafolda says from the Lashon of Shir Hashirim, hapircha, right, it's blossoms, and it goes out away from the aris. So roan ososa there, if you have a vine sticking out, you can't plant under it. You can't plant under it. So, roano so kilu mututelas tuliabo kinegdo usser. Right? You view it as if a mututelas is a plumb line. That's a word that's used in Hilchos Eiruvin. Right? You put you measure from the edge of the vine straight down. And under the vine is also the plant there. Right? If the vine is sticking out from the aris, you can't plant under a vine. Right? Kinegdo usser. Vechein bedalis. Right? Or one has a single vine that's on a pole that's not an aris. Right, it's on klun sa'os, the Marafolda says. The first case was talking about, you have a vine that's sticking out of the wall, and here you have one vine sticking out of the away from a pole. Same thing, you can't plant under it. Also, hamoteach zamora, mi'ilon le'ilon tachtecha, asur. Interesting, new halacha. Also, if somebody's, what if you have vine spread, like we said, on a tree? But you take one vine, and you have two trees. So you spread the vine from one tree to the other tree. So says the Mishnah, under that vine is for sure usser. Under that vine is for sure usser. But you don't have to be marchik at all. Why not? It's a vine. Says the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, ain't zorach laharchik ela me'ikir agefen. When you have vines sticking out, you can't plant under it. But where do you count the whole idea of avodis, akerem, six tfachim, four amos, that you count from the ikir vine, from where it is? So if you have a vine on a pole, you count from the pole. Even if the vine sticks out from the pole, you can't plant under that vine, but you don't have to be marchik six tfachim from that vine. You measure the six tfachim, the avodas akerim, from the ikker. And that makes sense, maybe, because if you're going to plow, right, the whole idea is to have enough room to walk there with your work instruments or the plow, you're going to walk next to the ikker vine. That's where you're going to walk. So he says, "Ein zor laharchik elam ikker akefen, aval mina nof from the branches sticking out, eno marchik klum ela sheino zor ekenegdo." You don't have to be marchik at all. You just can't plant underneath. Continuing, but as we said, if you stick a vine across, then you cannot plant under that vine. But what if the vine wasn't long enough? One vine going from one tree to another tree wasn't long enough. So you take a rope. Take a rope and you tie the edge of the vine to the vine on the other side of the tree. So you have rope in between. The vine doesn't go all across. So sibka bekevel obegemi tachas asipuk mutter. So then under that extension is mutter. That's not vine. Right? That's extension. Unless the whole point of that extension is for the vine to eventually grow on it. Aso, kedei shehalech alav achadash, aser, because then it has the status of the apifioros like we had before, the pergola that you're planning to go on. Period. Says the Gemara, les ha da pliga Reb Zeira. Does this Mishnah argue on Reb Zeira? Why? The Reb Zeira amar shmona chutz mimakam karsin. Reb Zeira said before, whenever you have measurements, you measure not including, when you need distance in between, you don't include the trunks of the vine. What is this referring to? Right, the Mefarshim explained, the Mara Folda says here. We mentioned before that the normal way of growing vines is that you separate the vines between 4 and 8 amos from each other. If it's less than 4 amos from each other, it's too tsafuf, it's too tight, it's too dense. And we had a machlokes. Do you view it as if the middle vines aren't there or not? Right? Then we related that to, remember, the burial places. Are they too close to each other? So we mentioned before that you need at least a minimum of 4 amos between 2 vines. That's the normal spacing. So 1 second. Says the Gemara. Here, what does the Gemara say? To have a space in between the vines, if it's 8 amos space in between, so then it's too close. If it's 8 amos and an ode, a little bit, then, okay, then you could distance and 4 amos in each one and have space in the middle. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Every vine has at least 4 amos in between it and the next vine, because that's the normal way of growing, as we saw earlier. So, 2 vines, if you're missing the one in the middle, then for sure it's going to be more than 8 amos. Because, let's say you have the middle 3 vines. We said, remember, we said 5 and 5 and 1 in the middle. It started off with 11, right? So the middle three. So you have 4 amos between one, 4 amos between the other. Then you have the space of the vine itself, the middle vine. So it's for sure going to be more than 8 amos. So what is the Gemara talking about? If it's 8 amos distant, then it's not enough. If it's 8 and more, it is enough. It's always going to be more than 8. Right? So what's the Gemara talking about? So the Gemara says, you're right, pata lashmona amos v'kol shehu. Right? It doesn't mean if there's 8 amos. It means you're always going to have minimum 8 amos and a little. What's the little? The Rasio Leo says the width of the vine that used to be in the middle. So as long as you have that, it's going to be good enough. V'lama lo tanita. So why didn't you say that beferish? Why didn't you say that beferish? The amount, right? Look at the Mara Folda. Lama lo tana hatana shmona amos v'kol shehu kamosha tana v'od. Right? If the shear is, the minimum shear is 8 amos and a kol shehu. And then you need more than that. If you only have that amount, it's not good enough. But then if you have a v'od, which is going to be more than that, right? The tefach, we already alluded to that. So then that's the shear. Meaning, what did the Mishnah say? 8 versus 8 and a v'od. Really, it's not 8 versus 8 v'od. It's 8 and a mashahu versus 8 v'od. Right? So why don't you say the mashu? The answer is because there's only a mashu. Right? And that's why you don't say it. V'lama lo tanite, v'lo tizbar kahi dam Reb Yochanan. Don't you hold like Reb Yochanan and say, kol mi d'shamer chachamim v'od tefach. Whenever it's v'od, that means a tefach. Meaning, what's the Mishnah saying? If it's 8 and a mashahu, that's not enough space in between. If it's 8 and a va'od, which means 8 and a tefach, 8 amos and a tefach, then that is good enough. So that's why it says, v'ahin riba tzivchar, that tiny little bit extra, lufam kein lo tanita, right? It didn't say, it's not going to say if it's just a little bit, like a mashahu. But if it's a va'od, that has significance, that's a tefach. So it's not going to say it if it's just a drop. That's the yesod, and that's why it doesn't mention it. Says the Gemara. Okay, so what did we just do in the Mishnah? We said the Mishnah's shear of 8 to 8 and a tefach, it doesn't really mean 8 and 8 and a tefach. It means 8 and a little bit. That's the shear that's too little, because you have to have the width of the vine that was in between. So we just modified a little bit one of the shearim. 8 versus 8 and 8 of a ode means 8 and a little versus 8 and a tefach. So the Gemara says now, Reb Yona Boi, what did the Mishnah say? This is the only va'od in all of Hilchas Kelayim. So ask Rabbi Yonah, Lama less on an Amrin, call me the Sharmi Chachamim, mein ben v'od chos v'piskei aris. What do you mean only in Hilchas Kelayim? Why don't you say in all of Torah? Are there any other va'od in Torah? In all of Torah, there's no shirim with a va'od. Right? Why did the Mishnah say that in all of Hilchas Kelayim, this is only va'od? Generalize it more. In all of Hilchas, so that's Rabbi Yonah's kasha. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. We have va'odes in other areas. Right? I'll give you three examples. V'hadat tanina, the Mishnah in Menachos, talking about the amount of flour. We know the carbon toda was brought with 40 loaves, 30 chametz, 30 matzah, and 10 chametz, and there's specific measurements of how much flour to use for the chametz and for the matzah. And the Mishnahs talk about how they used to use certain measurements, and then they modify those measurements. Asaras kaven Yerushalmiim shehein shisha esronim va'odian. So you see this of a ode in Hilchus Menachos about the amount of flour for the minchas. The Gemara says, Taman lamidos v'kan la'amos. Our Mishnah is talking about physical measurements, not volume. The flour is volume. You're right, so you might have va'odes in volume. But our Mishnah is talking about measurements. You never have a va'ode in measurements, right, in distance. So the Gemara says, and we could talk about carbon toda for a while, but not for now. V'yadat tanina, and what about the Mishnah in Shrumos? The Mishnah in Shrumos has three opinions. Our Gemara only quotes the third one. Three opinions, how much is truma batel in? Right, we paskin truma is batel b'meya. Right, if you have one truma to 100 chulin, 101 altogether, so that's batel. Right, less than 100 chulin is medume. Right, and therefore that's also to a Yisrael. But one to 100, but really there's three opinions. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Truma ola bechud meya. Rabbi Yeshua says, b'meya v'od. You need a little more than 100. And Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulim, right, that's quoted here. Vatani Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, Omer, the va'od, it doesn't mean va'od just a little bit. The va'od means a kav to 100. Kav l'meya sa'ah, shus l'medume. So, l'medameya. So, he gives a little bit larger shear than the previous shear of Rabbi Yeshua. But anyway, you see there are va'ods here. There are some va'ods here in the amount of chulin that's needed to be mevato the truma. So, answer, again, tamon l'midos v'kan la'amos. Again, that's volume. That's not measurements. So again, that's not a problem. So Gemara says, okay, I got one. V'had tanina, we learned in a Mishnah in Erevin. A Mishnah in Erevin talks about distance. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Haginava Karpev, Shishivim Amav, Shivim Mishirayim, Shivim Mishirayim, 70 and a little bit. What's that about? There is a big sugya, maybe we'll talk about it at the beginning of tomorrow's shiur, about Karpev, Karpev Shlukaf Ladira. Usually, midaraisa, if I have a fenced-in area, it doesn't matter how big it is. If it's a fenced-in area, that's a rishus hayachid. Chazal said, if you have a karpef, shlohukaf ladira, even if you have a fenced-in area, but if it's a fenced-in area that is not meant for residential purposes, and it's very large, and the shear is 70 and a little bit amos by 70 and a little bit amos, so that ruins your eruv. And that's called a karpef, and you can't build an eruv there. Right, so you see from there that you see the shirayim, you see there are va'odes there. So the Gemara said, no. Shmuel Amar b'shnei shlishi amashanu. No, that's dot. There's a measurement there. That's 2/3. That's 2/3 of an ama. So it's not a va'od. It's 2/3 of an ama, and that's what we paskin. Right, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll just mention the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll talk about Lamaisa cases tomorrow. In Shinun Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says, al hekol hekef shlohukaf ledira, any enclosure that was not enclosed for residential purposes. Kagon, Ginos, Pardes, and Bergenin. Shenasim, Lishmar, Batochan. Asu, Chacham, Latalta, Basocha, Yoser, Me'arba, Amos. You can't be Matalta there within 4 Amos. Imu, Yoser, Bisasayim. If they're more than Satayim. Aval, but if it's Satayim, Shehu. Shir, Shivim, Ama, Va'arba, Atvachim. Al, Shivim, Ama, Va'arba, Atvachim. That's the maximum shear. 70 Amos and 4 Tvachim. Right? There are 6 Tvachim in an Ama. So it's 2/3 of an Ama. Where do you get that from? Right here. Right here, shnei shlishi ama, 2/3 of an ama. So if it's 70 amos and 4 tvachim, that's the max, right? That's the shear. So if it's less than that, then it's okay. But if it's more than that, then it's a problem, right? That's karpev shluhukaf ladira. So we answer there. So that's not a mashahu that has a minimum amount as well. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with some lamaisa discussions of karpev shluhukaf ladira, and then we get to the last full daf here in Meseches Kilayim Perek Shishi. We'll stop here.